Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise you the Lord. Yes, indeed, you are once again in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown, Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I'm going to ask one more time, as I always do on tonight, as I always ask the listeners, and especially for the new listeners, because we have a lot of new listeners that have joined in and are tuning in to hear a word from the Lord. So I'm asking all listeners, please get your Bibles, your pen and paper ready so you can follow along with the man of God on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox, as he gets ready to deliver another word from the Lord on tonight. He's going to share with us first another inspirational poem. Then he's going to do part two of his message from the last time he was on. His message title is Independence Day. So this is part two of tonight's message from Deacon Marvin Cox. It's going to be coming forth very shortly after we do our prayer and we have a short music break. We're going to come forth and bring on Deacon Marvin Cox to once again share with us another poem and then deliver God's word, part two of his message. So I'm going to ask all listeners, if you would please pray with me at this time, because we do serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again on tonight giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is no one like you in all the earth. We thank you that all power in heaven and earth is in your hands. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are in total control at all times. We thank you that you do not have amnesia, you don't forget. We thank you that you are a promise keeper, and we thank you that you have a perfect track record for keeping your promises. You are a faithful God, so we bless your name on tonight. You are worthy to be praised. Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus, asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions on tonight, starting with myself, my guest, Deacon Robert Cox, my entire family, his entire family, and all those that are saved in Jesus' name all over the land, who are saved in the name of Jesus Christ on tonight. We ask that you forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions, because your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. Even though we are saved in Jesus' name, we do sin and we do falter. We come short of your glory. So we thank you for your grace, your mercy, even your sufficient grace on tonight. We thank you for our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son, your only begotten, beloved Son. You said in your word, in whom you are well pleased. We thank you for his sacrifice, his shedding of his precious sinless blood on the cross, that he paid the price that he knew that we could not pay, a debt that we owed, but we were not able to pay it. But he paid the price on the cross for our sins, and he rose from the dead with all power in his hands. And he's now sitting at your right hand making intercessions for the saints of God. For this we are grateful on tonight. Heavenly Father, we come now asking that you will move by your Spirit as your word goes forth with power on tonight. Should there be any listener that's not saved in Jesus' name, is our prayer, our hope, and desire that your word will go forth with such power that they will be able to open their own mouth even on tonight and confess their sins and transgressions. And they also will be able to open their own mouth and ask Jesus Christ, your Son, to come into their hearts and save them on tonight, is our prayer in Jesus' name. So once again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your sufficient grace toward us, even though we don't deserve it. We bless your name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, and we ask that you will move by your Spirit on tonight, Heavenly Father. Touch, heal, and deliver those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Some people are sick in their minds. We have some that are sick in their bodies. Some are even sick in their spirits. So we know that you are still working miracles, signs, and wonders on tonight. So touch, heal, and deliver your people as only you can. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Continue to lift up all those that are bereaved on tonight. Heavenly Father, we know that you are still comforting and strengthening your people, even in the hour of bereavement. So touch all those, comfort and strengthen all those around the world, Heavenly Father, that are bereaved, are grieving on tonight in the loss of loved ones. And let them know and remember that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. So now, Lord, we pray that you would help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us, that you alone will be glorified. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. All those that are touching and agreeing with this prayer said amen. Well, tonight's scripture proof of thought comes to us saying, today and now is never to be taken lightly or for granted. Once again, today's scripture proof of thought, today and now is never to be taken lightly or for granted. And the reason why I gave that scripture proof of thought for tonight, because so many people are taking life for granted. So many people are taking and their families for granted. Their positions in the body of Christ, they're taking it for granted. Even though this pandemic that we're experiencing, that the world is going through right now, some people still do not believe that this virus will kill. Well, we just saw on the world, world news tonight, that a young lady, I think she was in her 30s, she was one of those that didn't think it was real, and she thought it was a hoax. But as she was on her deathbed, before she gave her last breath, she told those that was around her that this is not a joke. This is not a hoax. This virus is real. And so for those of you that may think it's a hoax and it's not real, this is a serious virus that we are dealing with in the earth today. And I still believe that God has allowed this virus to come upon us and the world to draw us back to him, because mankind has gotten so far away from God, and he has allowed this to occur to get our attention, to draw us back to him. That's my belief. So right now, we're going to continue to pray for those that are have lost loved ones due to the virus, those that are in the hospitals, on ventilators, that are still struggling to survive because of the virus. We know that God is still a healer. As I said in the prayer, he's still healing. He is still working miracles, signs, and wonders, even through this worldwide virus and this worldwide pandemic that we're experiencing. God is still in control. So we just got to continue to trust God, continue to bless his name, because he's still worthy to be praised. In the midst of it all, he's worthy to be praised. So right now I'm going to go to our music break. And following the music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to share with us another inspirational poem from tonight, that he always does. Then he's going to do part two of his message titled Independence Day. So please enjoy the music break on tonight. Cover me, Lord.
Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me, Lord, with
Praise the Lord, praise you, the Lord. Cover me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that we are covered, those that are saved in Jesus' name, we are covered by the blood of Jesus. And I love what the Word of God promises, that once we're saved in Jesus' name, nothing and no one can pluck us out of God's hands. What a mighty word, what a powerful word, what a powerful promise from our Heavenly Father, that nothing and no one can pluck us out of His hands. But before I bring on Deacon Marvin Cox with the Word to deliver God's Word on tonight, I want to do a little promotion on behalf of my younger sister, Janetta Burney. She has a coming movie that the Lord blessed her to write, and it's in production. The movie is already completed. If you would take some time out to go to your Facebook, those of you that have Facebook, I'm going to ask you if you would please go to Facebook and go under my younger sister's name, Janetta Burney. Her first name is spelled D-A-N-E. T-T-A, her last name is Burney, B-A-R-N-E-Y. The Lord has blessed her to write a movie, and the movie is completed, and she has like a three-minute version of what the movie is going to be about on her Facebook page. And the movie is titled Silent War. Silent War, and it deals with military people, those females and males that have served in our militaries, and some are still currently serving in our militaries today, and they're suffering from PTSD, and that's a serious illness that a lot of people take for granted and they take lightly. But the Lord blessed her to write this movie, and it's soon to be released in the worldwide big films, screens around the world. And so if you want to get a glimpse of what the movie is about, again, go to my younger sister's Facebook page, Janetta Burney, and then you can type in Silent War, and you would see like a 3-minute preview of what the movie is, upcoming movie is going to be about. Again, it's about our people that serve in our military that suffers with PTSD. Again, this is a serious issue, a serious illness that a lot of people take for granted or take lightly. So we want to continue to encourage my younger sister that she will continue to do what God has called her to do, and she is being a blessing to the body of Christ. And through this movie and titled Silent War, a lot of people are going to be healed, blessed, delivered, and strengthened through this movie. So I just give God the glory, the honor, and praise for allowing her to be the one that he used to write this movie. And then she got in contact with some film producers in Hollywood, and they have produced this movie, and it will be coming out very soon. And as soon as we get the date as when it's going to be released, we will be sharing that information with the worldwide listeners so everyone can get involved. So right now, I am so excited once again to have Deacon Marvin Cox getting ready to bring forth God's word. Before he does that, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem. So I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready to follow along with him as we get ready to go into God's word on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. I thank you, Brother Brown. Thank the Lord. Thank the listeners. I'm truly grateful this evening to once again be able to come before you to bring forth God's word, to bring forth encouragement in these dire times and these dire situations. When Brother Brown was just speaking a few minutes ago, talking about the word for today, spiritual food for thought. It's truly, God's word truly is amazing, because the things that he was talking about, the coronavirus and things like that, those are truly, truly things that we must pay attention to. And as he was saying, it's not a hoax. And it just so happened that tonight the Lord wanted me to give his people, you could call it a public service announcement through the poem. You could call it a warning, but we're going to call it a friendly reminder. And it's coinciding. We never, during the week, correspond on what the word's going to be, but every week it's something that is being said that is corresponding and confirming what the Lord has given me to give you. And this is the reminder. It's called It's Not Over, a friendly reminder. And we have, it's just telling God's people to be careful, because it's a killer out there, and the killer is out of control, and we can put him back in control if we do the things that God will help us to do. Okay, and it reads, it's not over, there's no need to relax, just like the Terminator, Corona said, I'll be back. Keep watching your hands. Don't take off your mask. Maintain social distancing is all that we ask. Better safe than sorry. To yourself be fair. Corona is not prejudice. Corona doesn't care. The ultimate killer has made his trial run. We'll be more than crazy to think that he's done. He's just catching his breath from this first wave. Please don't let your impatience put you in your grave. Please wait a little while longer before you resume your regular routine. Wash your hands, cover your face, practice good hygiene. Give the scientists a chance to come up with a vaccine. If you don't want to lay down in the fields of clover, some of the curves may have been flattened, but this still is not over. So I'm saying this is truly a friendly reminder, because we have been confined for really just a short amount of time. Three months or 4 months is nothing compared to a day with God. It's nothing compared to your life. It's nothing compared to even our gestation period of being born. It takes 9 months to be born. And so I'm pleading with you, I beseech you, I adjure thee, or whatever you want to apply, to take heed, curb your enthusiasm, because all of those things that we used to do, all of those things that brought that flesh so much excitement, we may one day return to that, but right now, while we isolated and quarantined, I'm just asking, not telling you, I'm just asking to just give a little bit more time to God, study a little bit more, love a little bit more, be a little bit more patient, a little bit more tolerant of your neighbor, of your family members. So that being said, didn't want to lecture nobody. We're moving right along. Now, today's lesson is a continuation of last week's lesson, which was Independence Day. And I'll read to you from, I thought it's coming from Exodus, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 17. And I'll read it to you. But our number one thought coinciding with Independence Day will be coming out of that second verse. But I have to read the whole scriptures to you in order to complete the thought. It says, and God spake all these words, saying, I said, and God said, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Amen. I just read unto you from the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 17, which is better known as the Ten Commandments. And may the Lord add a blessing to reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may edify our souls forever. Amen. Now, our thought tonight is coming from Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse number 2, and it reads, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. As I say, it's coinciding with Independence Day. Today is your Independence Day. Last week we talked about Independence Day. We talked about being freed from slavery. We talked about being freed from oppression. We talked about the shackles of sin. We talked about all these things that will hold people in bondage. And our scripture thought last week was coming out of Gospel recorded by St. John, King James Version, the 8th chapter, the 36th verse, and it's coinciding with it. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Okay, I want to read that to you again, and then I want to put it together with today's scripture. Verse number 36, and the gospel was recorded by St. John, says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And Exodus. Now, John come way after Exodus, but Exodus said, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. The Lord thy God and of the Son, who are one and the same. So if the Lord the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. But see, if you notice, we were led out through Moses, but brought out by the Lord. It's our independence. They say, out of what? Out of the house of bondage. And see, that house of bondage contains many cells. There are many cells in there. There are cells that will hold and contain and confine you to things that are not of the Lord. But remembering that the word said that the Son therefore shall make you free, guess what? You shall be free indeed. And we just to go over a few verses in Exodus. I might not necessarily come up with the number, but I just read it to you. See, we are free not to commit adultery. We are free to remember the Sabbath day, to worship, because in some countries you cannot, even nowadays, some countries you don't have that freedom, you don't have that liberty to do what the Lord will have you to do. Or maybe I should take that back. You have that freedom, but it comes with a very strict price. It's against the law in some countries. And if you notice, a couple of months ago, during the Meridian Heights of this coronavirus thing, they were making it, or trying to make it, if you were listening, against the law to go to church. They were actually arresting people and putting people in jail and fining people for coming to the house of prayer. But how can I be free from that? And we talked about Independence Day of the United States. You know, we talked about the Declaration of Independence. We talked about the Emancipation Proclamation. We talked about Juneteenth. We talked about the Liberation Day of Canada. We talked about Bastille Day. But even with all of these different liberations and liberties that's going on or went on during this time of the year, guess what? A lot of people were still in bondage. A lot of people were not free. Even now, people still don't have that right. They still are not free to vote, to go out there and speak publicly, because why? The law is trying to penalize you. The law is trying to hold us back. But God's word say, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, we're talking about free of what? All right, if we go to Psalms number 23, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. So his word will make you free of want, because when the disciples followed him, he said, don't take nothing with you. I will meet your needs. Don't carry no script. Don't carry no money. Don't do this. Don't do that. Because why? In translation for today, I got your back. So these things, these materialistic things that we sometimes sit back and that we worry about, these things that have such a grip on us, we can be free of those things if we want to be. But the only thing is that sometimes we return back to those things that had us in bondage. We return back to alcoholism. We return back to addiction. We return back to bad relationships. When the Lord freed us and the Lord liberated us from those things, those same things that we prayed, Lord, I can't handle this by myself. Lord, I need you to extricate me from this devastating dilemma. Lord, I know you can do it, because I'm not strong enough on my own to resist these things. But sometimes human nature, we have that tendency of are returning. As the word said, those dogs, they return. I'm not calling anybody any dogs, but we're just using this as a parable, using this as an example, how they return back to the same vomit that made them sick, and they lapped it up. Now, I'm more than sure each and every last one of us, as I said, not comparing us to dogs, but it's some things that we want to shake off, some things that have become a burden to us, that we ask the Lord, Lord, take this away from me. And to be more specific, every year, around the first of the year, we call them New Year's resolutions. And we say, Lord, I need to stop smoking. Lord, I need to lose weight. Lord, I need to treat people right. And so for just a little while, we start doing these things. But before we know it, we're cussing louder and more frequently than we ever have. Instead of one pack of cigarettes, we're smoking two packs of cigarettes. Instead of our waistline, you know, and we lose our direction because our stomach is going south, our weight is going north, and our waistline is going east and west. So we violate those same things that God delivered us from, that Independence Day, that house of bondage that he delivered us from. We go right back to that. But see, I'm glad that it was not specific of the date that the children of Israel were delivered out of the house of bondage, because, see, we say, okay, I was liberated in the summertime. We were liberated in the fall. We were liberated in the wintertime. But see, any day could be your Independence Day if you give your life to the Lord. If you submit yourself to the Lord, he won't hold no good things back from them that serve him. So this is just, as the poem said, this is just a friendly reminder. A friendly reminder. We also found out last week that the truth shall make you free. Now, we know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We know that if the Lord free you, that you're free indeed. We know that he delivered us himself personally. So I brought you out. See, sometimes we look at our spiritual leaders and we give our spiritual leaders way too much credit. Don't we know that every spiritual leader that is out there is no more than just an instrument for the Lord? He's a vessel, just like he uses them to tell us and to give us instruction, just like he used us to give our children instructions and point them in the right direction. But no good thing could come if it were not for the Lord. So we cannot allow ourselves to be deceived by the Lord choosing somebody that he has found favor with to lead us out of situations or to counsel us, because sometimes we have become slaves to our problems. And we become so heavily enslaved in our problems that there's no escape. We become shackled down and we cannot find a way out. Now, we say vanity. Vanity. Some of us is being held hostage by our looks. You'll have to excuse the noise out there, but, you know, somebody's riding down the street. But sometimes we become shackled by our looks. We think that we are the catch me out. In the process of that, because we have attained a certain amount of affluence, we begin to mistreat God's people. We begin to think, you know, and we know what the Bible says about vanity. It says Corinthians, okay. Now, 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, the 9th verse, says, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become stumbling block to them that are weak. And this is what I was just saying about how God chooses certain vessels. But see, Brother Paul said, Apostle Paul said, he's already saved. You might say, well, I call him brother, but see, he is my brother. He is your brother also. But he said, follow me as I follow Christ. So Jesus is the guiding light, and we have to fall in line behind those that are following him. And someone has to lead the way, and it's Jesus. But then he has his, when his spirit does not thrive with us at all times, he have what I call our mentors, our pastors. They're his pastors, but he have appointed them to teach us. He said that in Matthew. He said, teaching them and observing all things. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So he commissioned, see, this is the difference right here. God has commissioned people, individuals, to tell us, to instruct us, to set an example for us. Every example in the Bible, or everybody that you know, this it's a two-way example. They should either show you, and it's almost like Beethoven, it's almost like Shakespeare. They can show you how to be or not to be. That is the question. And how we pattern ourselves and our lives after anything. But Jesus is the best role model that the world has ever seen. He will lead you and guide you to all truth. And said the truth will do what? It'll set you free. So on this Christian journey, we have to be diligent in our things that we do. Okay, now we're going to go over to Matthew. Say, Jesus answered, and he's talking to a rich young man. Okay, talking to a rich young man over in Matthew. And I'm going to let you, I would give you the verse, but we don't want you to get lazy. I'm going to say, Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, yet lack thou one thing. Sell it, distribute it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in the earth. And when he heard this, okay, the young man, he was truly sorrowful. He was sorrowful. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall I that they have riches enter into the kingdom of God? So what is this saying to me? It's saying sometimes we have become, some of us have become a slave to our affluence. We have become a slave to our influence. We have become a slave to our riches. It makes us sad to give these things up. But see, don't we know that it's liberating to give these things, to be able to meet a need for somebody. Some people call it philanthropy, but a lot of philanthropical organizations, what they do, they set aside. In our city, they have what they call gleaners, which Ruth did. She gleaned the fields, and they have Forgotten Harvest, which is also a gleaners organization. Where, and those are, if you think about it, those are the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table that Lazarus was asking about. So it should be in everybody's heart a charitable thought, a charitable event where you say, look, I got more than enough. I think I want to share with this. Because if we become a prisoner of our riches, this young man, he wanted to hold on. He wanted to hold on to his riches. He said, no, I'm going to work too hard. It made him sad. Now, I'm just wondering to myself, if I can't speak for nobody else, but it makes me happy to be able to give. It frees my mind because I hate to eat. I hate to participate in things. Even sometimes if I'm away from the house and I stop and get myself a bite to eat, I bring my wife something because I want to share it with her. But there are those that don't have that liberating spirit to be free from the guilt of not being able to help when they help. But see, if the Lord sets you free, you're free indeed. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. See, I'm liberated from, say, thou shalt not commit adultery. I'm liberated from adultery. Why? Because I have a choice. I don't have to do it. It said, thou shalt not, so I don't have to do that. Thou shalt not steal. I'm liberated from having sticky fingers. I don't have to do that. If you go to Psalm number 23, say, I shall not want. And it goes over all the things and say, my cup runneth over. A table before me in the presence of my enemies. All of these things that we have developed a fear over, and all these things that hold us captives and hold us hostage and put us in bondage. The Lord freed us from these things. Now you're asking, why do we still have trouble? Well, God's word said that he reigned on the just as well as the unjust. So in each life, a little rain must fall. Sometimes adversity comes, but see, that's when we can really exercise our liberty. We could either go with what the world has to offer us, which is nothing but chaos, or we could just sit back and just wait on the Lord to do what it is that he promised that he would do for us. And John 16:13 said, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, we will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So all the while, during trials, during tribulations, during good times, during bad times, we got a guide. We got the comfort. They say the comforter comes and he will lead you and guide you to all truth. Now sometimes we get so preoccupied with adversity that we don't even know that the comforter is right there. We lose, and it's easy. It's easy to lose your focus. Either lose your focus on things that you've been concentrating on for a long time. And see, that's one of the devices of the demon, that he wants you to lose your focus. Because when you got focus on something, nothing or no one is going to interfere with whatever your objective is. There are going to be some people that's going to try, and now they have, distracted driving. They have distracted everything. They even have distracted walking when people on their cell phones is walking into doors and out in the middle of traffic and all of this. I mean, you can just look at your TV or just think of a situation that you may have had where your attention was more so on a device than it was on something that was a little bit more important. It's time for us to be freed up from these sins. I'm not saying don't utilize them, because they are our conveniences. But when you take the liberty out of things, when you abuse these things, because he knows that we have to survive, he knows that we have to go to work, he knows that we have to work next to Lion Harry and old Flirting Mary. He knows that we have to do these things. But he got, and he gave us. But he said, when he set us free, then that temptation, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So we know that God, he has liberated us from temptation. I mean, it's going to be there. It's going to always be there, because his word in Revelation said in the end days that the whore, she would be in the door and she would be trying her best, I'm just paraphrasing, to seduce men. And this don't necessarily have to be men. I mean, women are being seduced by good-looking men, by good-looking cars, by big fat pockets and so forth and all. But see, these are just seductions. These things will not liberate you. These things will only enslave you. But see, I wish you would declare your Independence Day, because we can be free. And see, I like to say we, because see, if I say you, then I'm not including myself. But we can be free. I want to be free. I don't know about you. But see, freedom comes with a price. Freedom means that you have to make sacrifices. Freedom means that you are no longer up under the control of a man or an entity or a bill or obligation or anything like that. That you have been liberated from that. But you have to make that sacrifice to continue, because they say those that you don't want nobody to, you know, bow down themselves to idols or to serve them. But see, he wants you to worship him. But see, that's the thing about it. We got that liberty. We got that freedom. We got that independence. We got that choice. It's not a forceful thing. And see, if some people say, well, okay, he brought us out the house of bondage to serve him. Okay. And he was whipped with many a stripes and bruised and all of these things. But see, his policy is not the policy of their taskmaster. See, their taskmaster will force you to do things. He would take away your say-so. But see, when he liberated you, God gave us, the Lord gave us say-so. There's nothing more great in this world than having the right to say-so or to do so. That's what he has given us. But previous verses that I read, it said that people are abusing these things. People are praying because of their goodness. They're praying on, or not their goodness, because of their prosperity. They're praying upon the weakness of others. Now, what about that? People who have been blessed by God praying upon the weakness of other people. Only thing I got to say to these people, brother, sister, whoever you might be careful. Be careful, because over there in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, it once again it relays and see when the Bible talks about animals, it's just specifically talking about the ways of those animals, talking about those preachers that and so forth and on that go into their own devices. They call them they greedy dogs, you know, like a man that got a wife, but he wants somebody else's wife. Now, wouldn't you call that a greedy dog? Over in 2 Timothy, when he's talking about they creep into houses and so forth and on and lead women away. Now that's greedy. It's no liberty in that. We should have that liberty to choose and then be respected when we make that choice, as long as it's a godly choice. Now, Galatians 5:1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Okay, now that's what I was just saying not long ago, how people do things, and, you know, get drunk and have headaches and, you know, run into somebody or get a DUI, whatever the situation might be. Have to pay a fine, and then for a while, I swear off drinking. Say, no, drinking ain't for me. But before you know it, that individual right back behind the wheel, drunker than he ever been, potential time bomb, could hurt themselves or hurt somebody or kill themselves or kill somebody. So this is what I'm talking about. When you ask the Lord to take something away from you, and he take it away from you, He tells us, woe unto them that takes a hold of the gospel plow and look back. They're not fitting. So I'm going to use that as a comparison. When you get away from something, it's going to be a woe on you if you return back to it. You know, people that have bad habits and, you know, and what they say, I'm on the wagon or off the wagon or, you know, and so forth and on. It seems like if they have a relapse or whatever, they'd be worse than they were at first. So declare your freedom. And I'm not talking about 4th of July, your Independence Day. I'm not talking about Bastille Day. I'm not talking about Canadian Day. I'm not talking about Emancipation Proclamation. I'm not talking about Juneteenth. Because if you look at all of these things, there's still some type of oppression going on. There's still some soul that feel that's not satisfied. Still some soul that still is in bondage or that's been held back or that's been persecuted. But when the Lord sets you free, you're free indeed. Now we need to really think about that. We need to go over that, say, all of the things that I spoke of in Exodus, we're free from adultery, we're free from murder. Thou shalt not do these things. But see, these are choices that we make that is contrary to what God has told us not to do. And I say, Jesus is a gentleman, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force you. But the word is admonish. He lets us know in his word, he said, watchmen, what of the night? Lets us know, we did a lesson not too long ago, whereas if the watchman see danger coming and he do not warn the people that their blood, they might die in their iniquity, but their blood is going to be on his hands. So we have a job as Christians, as brothers, as sisters, as mothers, as fathers, as friends. Whatever position you hold in somebody's life, then we got an obligation, a spiritual obligation, to help liberate them. Because if you notice, it said the truth will make you free. So if somebody's doing something contrary to God's word, tell them the truth. That's their Independence Day. Tell them that what you're doing, brother or sister, is not so. I don't want to lose friendship with you because you're going contrary. I don't want to do that. It's my job. And if that person is truly who they say they are, one thing about it, that person will come back and they will thank you. Now, 1 Peter 2nd chapter 15 and 16 verse says, for so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So with well doing, this is what I'm saying, what I just said a minute ago, that with well doing. So when you tell somebody the truth, that's well doing. So you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as service of God. So, you know, you can't hammer somebody across the head with something. Just tell them and go on about your father's business. That's all you got to do. Because the truth is not up for debate. Just tell them what thus saith the Lord and go on about your father's business. Say, don't use it. Okay, listen, let's say, let me read that again. Say, for so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And see, we got to look at that word ignorance. See, ignorance is something that somebody is just not aware of. That's free. And not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. So don't be hiding behind. Don't bring forth an ulterior motive. Do it out of love. And when you do it out of love, I guarantee you, you'll be free, they'll be free, we'll be free. So may God bless you and may ever keep you. Almost made it back to the end of my lesson, but the Lord said, be obedient to the time. And I'll now turn you over back in the hands of Brother Brown. May God bless you and may ever keep you. Remember, let today be your Independence Day. Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, Deacon Marvin Cox, for that word on tonight. Yeah, we need to be reminded, even those of us that are saved in Jesus' name, we need to be reminded that we are free indeed. Yes, we have been freed because of Jesus Christ, by the works of Jesus Christ, the finished work that he finished on the cross, all of our hang-ups and habits, everything that's not like God, sickness and disease, all of those things have been nailed to the cross. Jesus was nailed to the cross. All those things were nailed to the cross along with Jesus Christ. So we thank God that we are free indeed. So we thank you, Deacon Marvin Cox, for the word that you have brought forth to us on tonight, part two of Independence Day. We continue to pray for you. We continue to ask God to give you strength, that he will continue to bless you. You will continue to touch and heal your body so that you will be able to continue to do what he has called and ordained for you to do as you continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, as you continue to teach and preach God's word to people, whether it's on this worldwide platform or whether it's somebody on the street, whether it's somebody in your family, whoever you come in contact with, you're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So that's what it's all about. So we thank God for you. And we're going to continue to lift you up in prayer that God will continue to bless your life and the works of your hands that will give him glory. So right now, we are thanking God for this worldwide ministry and platform. I thank God that we are now in our seventh year anniversary month, starting the first part of this month, July. We are in our seventh year of being on the air with this worldwide platform, with this worldwide ministry. And I give God the glory, honor, and praise for it because I know it's not of my doing, but it's the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in my eye, and it's marvelous in the eyes of those that tuned in faithfully to hear another word from the Lord. So we thank God for who he is on tonight. We thank God that he's not like man. He is a promise keeper. He have a perfect track record. He don't forget. He don't get amnesia. He don't tell us one thing 1 minute and then turn around and forget what he told us. His word is true. So we thank God for the word, his word. And therefore, we got to stand on his word, stand on his promises. Thank God for Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank him. We must continually, every day, thank Jesus Christ, for he has freed us. It's because of Jesus Christ that we are free, that we have our independence. So we just thank God for this word on tonight, and I pray that it has been received on tonight. Because we know that God is an awesome God. He knows who's going to be listening, and he knows exactly what we all stand in need of and what we need to hear. So right now, as we're ready to close out for tonight, I want to continue to ask every listener on tonight, continue to lift about our president, our world leaders, all those that are working on the front lines, our nurses and doctors, our law enforcement officers, those that are sanitation workers that pick up the trash of our streets, so we won't be constricted with rats and roaches and other pestilence because of all the debris and garbage that would be left out on the street. But we thank God for even for our sanitation workers that come through our neighborhoods, picking up our trash and trash. So we don't want to take them lightly or for granted either. So all those that are on the front lines, those that are working in the grocery stores, those that are working in the pharmacies, whatever position you're holding and you are being a blessing to the body of Christ, you're being a blessing to people, we want to continue to lift them up in prayer because they need our prayers as well, because their lives are on the lines too, as they're risking their lives to be a blessing to us. So we want to continue to lift them up in prayer. So right now we're going to close out in prayer as we always do. I'm asking all listeners, please pray with me. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you for your word, Heavenly Father. We know that your word is true. Your word is life. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, who delivered this word on tonight. We pray, Lord, affecting listeners, affecting tuned into this ministry and to this platform. Continue to bless them. Continue to grant them the desires of their hearts. We continue to thank you, Holy Father, for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Holy Father, for the blood of Jesus Christ that still works, and we know that it would never lose its power. We thank you for your promise, Heavenly Father, that once we're saved in Jesus' name, nothing and no one can pluck us out of your hands. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are still in control. You're still healing. You're still working miracles, signs, and wonders. You're still comforting your people that are grieving and over the loss of loved ones all over the land. So we just bless your name on tonight. We thank you that you're a faithful God, and we thank you that there is no other God like you. You are God, the Most High God. You are God alone. So we just bless your name on tonight. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And all of those that are touching and breathing with this prayer said, amen. Well, as I always say, and it's true, I don't know who you are. Some of you I do know, but there are a lot of you, because there's so many listeners worldwide that I do not know. But thank God he knows who you are, and he knows exactly what you stand in need of. So he said in his word that we can cast all of our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. He cares for you, my sister. He cares for you, my brother. He cares for each one of us. So what a mighty God we serve on tonight. So we give God the glory, honor, and praise for who he is. Continue to be all that God has ordained and anointed and appointed you to be for such a time as this. Continue to walk in, live in, and fulfill your God purpose, that he will be glorified through you in your life, and that your living will not be in vain. So on that note, we're going to close out for tonight. And I know that I love you, but know that God loves you even more. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Come on, KD.
Hallelujah. This is an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Yes, sir. Pray, pray for me. When you